whatever you want to go do in your life, go for it. You're going to get a lot of people that are going to resist you. They're going to tell you you're never going to accomplish it. Why are you even wasting your time? Take those people and make them push you even more.
Welcome to the 15th episode of How I Built My Small Business, the show that is dedicated to sharing the insight that entrepreneurs have about how to start and grow small businesses. Join us as we unravel the stories behind their entrepreneurial journeys. I'm Anne McGinty, your host, and today we'll be chatting with Skip Abed about buying the Santa Barbara Sailing Center at 27 years old on April Fool's Day, 2000. Skip saw a vision for the myriad of ways he could improve the Santa Barbara Sailing Center, and over the past 23 years, he's gradually put them in place. His business has been named the American Sailing Association School of the Year twice now, and he is passionate about making the sport of sailing accessible to everyone. You can find a link through to his business in the episode's description. Thank you to our listeners for being with us today. Skip, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Can you tell us the story of the point at which you decided to leap and purchase the business? How did that all unfold?
Well, I'll go back a little bit before starting to work here in 1992. In 1991, I graduated from high school I was in the Bay Area in East Bay and Walnut Creek at Northgate High School. And my summer was a paid internship in Manhattan working at Herzog, Hine & Gadul, which was a stockbroker firm down at 26 Broadway. And I spent the summer in this broker house, and gosh, back in 91, they still could smoke indoors, and these guys were just so high strung. At the end of the summer, I interviewed for a job in the World Trade Center at Cantor Fitzgerald, and I got accepted the job, but I just was sitting in this room, and the actual statue of the thinker was in this office at the top of the World Trade Center. So I'm sitting there looking at the statue of the thinker, thinking about my summer in New York, going, is this the career path that I want to go down? And the offer was very tempting, but my gut just told me this isn't what you really want to do. So I declined the job and moved to Santa Barbara and got a job working here at the Santa Barbara Sailing Center. I think I was getting paid cash and under the table and less than minimum wage. And my dad told me I was the biggest idiot. So I said, well, I'm enjoying this. I'm loving working on boats and teaching people how to sail. And I slowly grew through the company of working here and became a kids camp instructor, became a charter manager, the sailing school director. So I worked in all these different areas within the business. Back then, it wasn't as large of a scale. So we had about three larger boats and a small fleet of the Victory 21s, a couple of Solings, two J24s, and that was kind of about it.
So it sounds like about 10 boats or less.
Roughly, yes. And I wanted to figure out a way to buy my boss out. So I started to pursue it. And it took probably 6.5 years of trying to get this guy to sell his business. And he didn't actually know it was me. I hired a business broker that was actually trying to attempt to purchase the business. So I was working here and feeding my business broker with all these certain numbers. And he was giving us different numbers. And it was just kind of a fun insider job, so to speak. At the end of it, he ended up finding out it was me. I was very happy about that. And I was 27 years old when I bought the business. And I've loved it. I really have enjoyed working here and growing the company. And we've grown the business from 6 figures to 7 figures. And working with my team, it's been a really amazing experience.
And how many boats do you have now?
A bunch. I stopped counting.
How did you finance the purchase of the business?
I mean, I was 25, 26 when I was trying to put the whole deal together. I mean, it'd been going on for a while, but when I got close to purchasing it, I was around, 25 and 26. And I mean, I had a Honda Civic wagon and I was paying rent. You know, I didn't have property or anything like that. So the banks weren't going to loan me money. So you need to find an investor. And I think if you're passionate about it and you're hardworking, there are people out there that will help individuals. I actually had a couple of investors that were interested, Ricardo Fonseca and Jack Byers, who owns a big construction company here in town. I met with them initially, and they were going to be the people that I was going to ask to finance the business. And they wanted to be partners in the business because they're avid boaters and love the ocean and love the harbor. And I really didn't want a partner. I just wanted to pay them back with whatever interest they wanted. So that didn't happen. And my mom and dad gave me a loan. And back then, interest rates were like 7.5% or something like that. So they gave me the same kind of interest rates too. And I paid off that loan and now own the company. But they gave me the opportunity to be able to purchase the business. And then I've been growing the business ever since.
I know of other people who help aspiring entrepreneurs by providing down payment capital in exchange for a silent partner equity stake in a business that is ultimately financed by the SBA. So I know there are options, and it sounds like you were searching for alternate financing and knew you could improve the business. So when you took over, what was it like? What were the initial challenges that you faced?
There were so many, and it was this business. In the past, the owner really just didn't have, I don't know if it was the management skills or the vision, but he really kind of ran it like a place where employees lived on their boats here at work. So it was taking up space where we could actually have boats that would make us money. They wouldn't show up to work if the surf was good. They came to work with their dogs everywhere, and the dogs were biting the customers, or they were doing their business in the office or what have you. It was just kind of a mess. And it was a very relaxed atmosphere. And being here in Santa Barbara and catering to some of the clientele we have, I felt like we needed a higher standard. You know, we really needed to have, you know, employees in uniforms and have a structure of, okay, we're opening at this time and we're closing at this time. And these valuable slips are going to be designated for boats that are going to be offered for our students and our club members and the general public so they can rent them and enjoy sailing along Santa Barbara's coastline with the American Riviera in the background. So there was a lot of resistance to that kind of change. But all of that came with other fun benefits. People started to make more money. They were getting better tips because people looked at these individuals and had just a higher respect for their job and what we offered. And we were able to charge more too. So all those things helped us grow the business and create a more professional environment, at least in my eyes.
And you saw this. So you were in your 20s and you already noticed the potential for the business to be improved in that way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, from working here for 8 years on and off, and I must have quit 8 times too within those 8 years. But hearing feedback from club members and sailors and people coming down there. And I mean, one time he hosted a Chamber of Commerce meeting and literally the dock was so wobbly that it tipped and about 20 people fell in the water all in their suits and what have
you. Oh my gosh.
It was just like, really? You know, we need to build better docks and have a better structured facility than these kind of rickety old docks. We rebuilt all these buildings around us. I'm sitting here literally floating in my office. I have the only floating office in Santa Barbara.
Amazing. And how has growth been?
It's good. Every year, it's just been this nice little ladder. Last year was a little flat, little down. Just we had the first 2 quarters in California. I mean, we needed the rain. We got a lot of it. And it just rained and rained and rained. And we had so much sediment coming from the mountains into the ocean that the sand filled in the harbor. At low tide last year, you could actually walk across from the sand spit here on the breakwater to the pier in about 3 feet of water.
Oh my gosh.
It was that shallow. So our fleet was grounded until the Army Corps of Engineers came in and did an emergency dredging and cleared out the harbor. So that really affected our business. And having the rain day in and day out for so long last year, I mean, our reservoirs are full. It's great, but it really affects our business.
Yeah, it would. Wow, that's crazy that the sandbar got that shallow. Could any boats cross?
At a high tide, some of the, you know, power boats could get through, but it wasn't safe for our keel boats. It just wasn't worth it.
So beyond improved facilities, what other changes did you make to expand your operations?
Well, we've expanded the fleet. We added kayaking and paddleboarding and added a whole dock system out there, which is really a white glove service where it's just, we have a lower dock for paddleboards. So you can literally just step from the dock onto the paddleboard in calm waters, not having to go through surf zones or sandy beaches or what have you. We have a kayak launch. We have recyclable docks that are UV resistant, so it's not hot for people's feet in the summertime, and then no one will get splinters in the bare feet. We have a paddle membership for kayaking and paddleboarding where you get unlimited usage, so they can go out from sunrise to sunset as much as they want for just $60 a month. And we have a tier system too. So if you get more people, it can get down to $25 a month per member. So that was an expansion. We expanded our day sailor boats, the Capri 22s. We have a fleet of those. We also, our Catalinas, our cruising yachts that we do corporate team building on. We do day sails. We do our 103 sailing school. We certify people with the American Sailing Association, and we're probably the top 20 school in the world that certifies people with the American Sailing Association here in Santa Barbara. And a lot of people come here because it's Santa Barbara, but mostly because of our channel. We got some great winds. Leaving our location here and going to the mouth of the harbor is just a 7-minute sail, where if you're in Marina Del Rey, it could be 45 minutes before you get from the boat out to the open ocean. San Diego, certain places, it could be an hour and a half before you get all the way out to open ocean. So we're really fortunate. We're south facing too. We're the only south facing harbor on the West Coast. So when we stand here on the beaches in Santa Barbara, we're looking actually at Mexico. And then we have the Channel Islands right off our coastline too. So you're crossing major shipping lanes, you're anchoring bow stern out at the islands. There are no moorings, the little buoys you pick up and you can just tie yourself up to. So you really learn the art of what they say, staying put with the anchoring system and learning all these different things. So we expanded in the sailing school. Our 50-foot sailing catamaran, the Double Dolphin, we fixed up that boat. We reconfigured the bar and the seating area to have more of an open boat feel instead of kind of more of like a ferry boat feel with rows of seats and what have you. And it just created a nicer platform for private parties. We do music on the water from Memorial Day to Labor Day, where we have a different band or musician coming out or DJ. Amazing. On every Friday on the boat. So we created little activities like that. We have sipping on the sea. We have different winemakers that will come on board and pour their wines, or a lot of local breweries as well will come out. And that's been a really well-received program as well.
Wow. You have done so much. This is a big operation.
Thank you.
How many people are on your team?
It varies. Santa Barbara is really nice pretty much all year long, but we do have a season. And I would say from tax day, April 15th, till November 1st is kind of the real chunk of our busy season. So we'll ramp up on more of our captains, instructors, also our crew, and we have sailing and paddleboard camps as well. So we'll have 5 to 6 camp goers and instructors on each boat teaching kids how to sail from 7 to 15. And then we do paddleboarding in the morning as well.
Amazing. And so you have to flex up to meet this seasonal peak. I also had a seasonal business at one point, which I sold 3 years ago. What is your experience like staffing for your peak season? Because I know for us, that was one of the hardest parts.
It is. The sailing business, you know, there's not a lot of people that know how to sail, to teach how to sail at this kind of caliber that we expect and make sure that they can deliver. So vetting those individuals can sometimes be difficult, especially on the kids camp. You're getting individuals that may be a lot younger, but they have a lot of sailing experience. So I really don't judge kind of what you hang on the wall. We've had so many people come down and they say, I have this license and I have that license. And then I watch them go drive a boat and they're atrocious. Like a 12-year-old kid could sail that boat better than a 50-year-old guy or what have you. So I give these individuals a chance and make sure that they, once they prove themselves, then they're on the payroll. So they get some great perks too. They could take out the paddle boards or the kayaks and whatever sailboats we have laying around here. They can go out and go sailing for free. So it's a nice perk for them to do that.
What a lifestyle.
It is. It's fun. It's a fun summer job.
Make me jealous. So like, what is your day-to-day job life like?
Get down here, open up the office and just start catering to our customers and teaching people how to sail and getting other sailors out in the water. Or I just did a tour for a corporate group coming from Minnesota in May, and they're going to be chartering the Double Dolphin for their group. And we work with a local catering company called the Santa Barbara Cheese Shop that puts together some great food. So they're going to have a nice luncheon with their colleagues out on the Double Dolphin for 3 hours sailing down the coastline towards Montecito. And
how many days a week are you on a boat?
Not as many as I should. I'm jumping around on boats all the time. I'm helping move boats all the time. I try to go sailing at least once a week, but it's probably been a month.
Oh, no.
I know.
So more on the logistics side of the business, what are the expenses like for operating the sailing center? Because boats, I mean, my husband, he wants to buy a yacht, and I just keep on saying, let's just rent them because I don't want to have the upkeep costs of maintaining a boat. I've also lived on boats, so I know it's a constant thing. What is it like for you, the expenses? And is it mainly in maintenance, or what are your biggest expenses?
Maintenance is up there. Say labor, insurance, rent. We pay a base rent here in Santa Barbara Harbor, and then they have us on a percentage rent as well. So I would say, yeah, those three, the rent, the insurance is ridiculous. And then labor is probably your biggest. A lot of preventative maintenance, getting things repaired before they actually get to a point where it costs so much more money to replace them has been something that I've learned over the years of doing this and continue to learn.
Do you have a philosophy on how often to replace boats, a point at which the cost to maintain is beyond the cost of just buying a new one?
Really, if you stay on top of it, they can go for a long periods of time. You know, there's things that get worn, like sails and cushions and lines, and those are easy things to replace, transmissions, what have you. So maintaining and hiring the professionals to come through the riggers and the boat mechanics to go through the engines before the season and what have you to make sure they're tuned perfectly. We do all of these preventative measures. So we'll have an idea of what we need to repair and when we need to repair it. So we create that and we'll put it into our calendar saying, okay, these sails were purchased May of 2024. And then in 4 to 5 years, let's start looking at replacing them.
That sounds like an organized way to approach the ongoing maintenance. So in an ideal world, what is your vision for the business?
I'm always trying to grow. I'm always trying to be as efficient as possible. We do really well as a company as in regards to satisfaction of the customer. We like to hear feedback and sometimes it stings, but that's okay. We can't grow and improve unless we find out what's rubbing customers the wrong way. And if it is rubbing them the wrong way and we can explain to them why we do it in that way, and maybe they'll understand, or they'll come to us and say, why do you do this way? And I'll be like, oh, that's a good point. Why do we need to continue doing this way? Let's change it. You know, if it's in stone, let's get a new rock and chisel some new rules. So getting that feedback is something I always encourage my staff to do. I work down here all the time and just loving working with my team and devising better ways to make offerings for our students, our club members, the guests that come down. We want them all to feel very special.
What is it like combining your passion with your work?
Well, I love it. It's been the best path for me. I've really enjoyed being able to provide for our working family down here and my wife and our two daughters, and really has provided a great lifestyle for us.
Yeah, it sounds pretty dreamy. I know that when we were in French Polynesia recently, there was a guy that was living there at the marina, and yeah, he gets to transport boats between the French Polynesian islands as his living. And it's amazing.
Wow.
If you haven't been there yet, you really, as a sailor, you really should go.
Yeah. I've been to Guam and I've been to the Philippines and I've been to Fiji, but I haven't been to Tahiti yet. It's on my list.
Back to the business of the sailing center. Can you give us an idea of what the percentage split is like on your different revenue streams? Like, which ones are really worth it and are working, and which ones are just, you know, helping with the community, but maybe not big income generators?
I kind of divide the company into thirds. The Double Dolphin, that is about a third of the business. And then our boat rentals, kayak rentals is another third, and then our sailing school as well. So there are some programs we do from our kids camps to some of our sailing instruction where it's not a big money maker, but it's either getting people to then eventually rent boats, or they go out and buy their own boat, And it's always funny to see a club member or a student learn to sail and then sail with us for a while and then go out there on the boat. They almost feel guilty that they're like, betray me that they went out. I'm like, this is your dream. You wanted to own a boat. That's awesome. Like, how can I help you? If I know so many vendors or whatever you need, let me know. This is a great experience. And this is you following your dream, you know, so go do that. They always kind of get taken back by that because they think like, oh, I just lost a customer. I'm like, well, no, we taught you how to sail so you could actually then go out and safely operate a boat. And now it's your own boat. So perfect.
And it is one of the best ways to travel, really.
It's pretty phenomenal. So there are certain things that may not be the biggest money makers, but it's all about the experience too. And just being able to have these offerings. We just teamed up with a nonprofit organization called the Sea League. And they're like, can we get these inner city kids that really don't have a lot of money to go out and learn to sail? I would make more money renting the boat. But it's those experiences that may affect a child down the road or open their eyes to something. Or if they go out on a boat with someone else someday, they'll feel comfortable doing it or know what to do. Kind of the warm and fuzzy stuff is always good to have, too. We do an internship program down here where the kids will come down. They have to be 12 and older. And then they could put hours in towards working down here on the docks and learning how to move boats. And then those hours we apply towards sailing classes. So then they can end up with a certification as well.
Oh, wow. I want my kid to do that.
Well, we're going to put kids in camp this summer. So
yeah, definitely. Yeah. So what would you say have been the most difficult situations that you've faced as the owner of a sailing center?
There's definitely an art to working and understanding individuals. And in the summertime, you know, we could potentially have up to 60 employees. And scheme of things, it's a small, very, very small business. It's my world, so it's big to me. And working with all these different individuals and personalities sometimes can be challenging and trying to get your vision out, and they have a vision. So when I interview people and hire people, I tell my employees that I trust them as family. And if they mess up, and they told a customer this and we screwed up, let's just own it, okay? But customers sometimes will try to turn things around, make stuff up, and throw my employees under the bus. I believe in my team. I work with these individuals every single day. And I'm like, okay, if we did something wrong, let's fix it. We have to refund them or do something, do a comp, whatever. Let's make it right. But I let my staff know they're not going to get in trouble if they do something like that. You know, if we screwed up, we're human. We make mistakes. The boat leaves at 3:30. Oh, I told them 4, you know, and they come down and the boat's not there. Now, obviously, if they do it over and over again, then we have an issue. But it's a one-off. They made a mistake. I go to Mr. and Mrs. Smith. I'm really sorry. We made a mistake. How can we make it right? So getting employees to wrap their head around that and believe that I'm not going to get them in trouble or anything like that is always a little bit of a challenge with new employees, because they're like, is he really meaning this, or he just wants me to confess to a mistake so he's in trouble? I'm always trying to grow and improve the business. And I've failed in many different ways. Certain policies I had were just silly policies. We had to change them, or we upset so many customers and what have you. But we learn from these things and we grow and improve, you know, and that's why I feel like we have a really good formula down here on the docks.
What have been some of your most memorable experiences?
There's been so many, but there's a couple. We worked with a program here called the Alpha Resource Center, and then I get the group out kayaking, and there was this one girl that just didn't want to get in the kayak. She was worried about sharks and all this and that, and I finally got her into the double kayak with the instructor, and then I couldn't get her out of the kayak. Feeling those experiences, there was a family, a husband and a wife and two little girls. And the husband and the daughters would go sailing all the time. And the mother would sit up right above our docks. There's some cement benches up there. And she would wait while they went sailing. Well, she was blind and she didn't feel comfortable going on a boat. And they, every week they would come down and the father would take them out sailing. So one day I went up and I grabbed her and I said, you're coming with me. So we hopped on a boat and I taught her how to sail. And this woman, it was amazing. Like, she could hear in the main channel of Santa Barbara Harbor, there's end ties and there's boats on those end ties. And then when the wind blows the waves against those boats, you can hear a ripple and ricochet off of the hull of the boat. And she's like, is it time to tack? I said, absolutely. I mean, she had it down. So she was tacking. And then we sailed by the family, the husband and the two daughters, and they saw their mom. I'm getting choked up even talking about this, but they saw their mom out sailing, and it was just such a, it felt really good. And then moving forward, they all went out as a family sailing. So
that is amazing.
We also do a lot of celebrations of life, scatterings at sea for individuals. So we've had some funny ones where the individual was just kind of a character. We had a, you know, a family come down and they left grandpa on the docks, the urn on the docks, and they forgot to put it on the boat. And so the boat goes out to go scatter the ashes and grandpa's not on board. Well, apparently grandpa, his whole life was late to everything. So I hopped in a motorboat and took the ashes out to the family so they could spread their grandparents' remains. And everyone was just cracking up. And I'm like, well, what's so funny? It's like, he's even late to his own funeral. It's like unbelievable, you know? So there's just little certain funny experiences like that to just turn things around, put a smile on their face and make them cry and laugh at the same time is a really great, great, great feeling.
It sounds like such a fun job and world that you are moving through. I got a little jealousy. Just a little bit.
We have a lot of fun down here.
So with so many, I'm assuming thousands upon thousands of people that are coming to the Sailing Center each year and being so close to the ocean and environmental sustainability, how do you make sure that your patrons that are coming are going to treat the environment with respect?
Good question. We're a green business and we really follow that closely. And I was pretty impressed that to get a green business certificate, you got to go through a series of checklists and you have to make sure that you comply with all those things. And when we went through this long, extensive checklist, there were only two things on there that we had to change. So we changed those and we're a green business. But sailors and ocean-going individuals really, I have found, have a lot of respect for the ocean and Santa Barbara. California in general has a lot of environmental awareness and respect for, you know, the packing in and packing it out type of mentality and recycling and putting things in the right place and not throwing trash and what have you.
That's great to hear.
Actually meeting this afternoon with Whale Heritage Site. We've been designated as a place that the Whale Heritage will establish as a great place to come and see whales and protect whales. We're also lobbying about 500 tankers pass our channel every week, and we're trying to get them to reduce their speeds so they don't hit whales. Also, 50% of Santa Barbara's pollution is from those offshore tankers that are cruising through our channel. So by reducing the speed, their emissions will be a lot less. And I think I overheard on the news this week, it would be like taking 2 million cars off the road if they just reduce their speed from, you know, 25 knots to 15 knots. So hopefully things will be passed that will enable that to happen.
Yeah, I hope so too. Can you tell us about some of the challenges that you've faced as a business owner?
I mean, took over in 2000 and 2001, you know, 9/11 hit and that affected the world. And then we've had fires and fires and fires, you know, and then we've had the debris flows, the mudslides in Montecito, which closed down things. We've had the weather and what have you that's affected us, the economic downturn in 2008. So all these things, we've kind of weathered these storms throughout the years. And I always found if we just show up, we open up and get people back out there, they're going to come back and they're going to want to have fun, even COVID too. I mean, I understand we had to have things in place, but we're an outdoor open business. And for having them close us down for activities that are outside, kayaking and sailing, it was kind of unfortunate that we had to do that. That impacted us quite a bit.
Given you've had such a long time as a business owner and made it through so much, what advice would you give to aspiring entrepreneurs?
I think in order for success, you just really need to dive in and be all in. You know, there's no out of office. There's no, I can't deal with this right now because I'm doing this or anything like that. You need to be able to be on and learn and grow and also fail. I'm going to take this from someone who told me this thought. I went to a school in the East Coast. One of the students that was in my class was Scott Musburger, and his dad was Brett Musburger. I think he worked for NBC, a sportscaster. And he came to dinner one time, and he was sitting at our table, and we were all talking to him. And one of the advice that he gave us at the table was like, whatever you want to go do in your life, go for it. You're going to get a lot of people that are going to resist you. They're going to tell you you're never going to accomplish it. Why are you even wasting your time? Take those people and make them push you even more. If your family's hosting a Christmas party every year, you talk about it with your family and friends. What do you want to do when you grow up, Skip? Well, I want to own a sailing business. And then you keep talking about it. And then the following year, they'll come in. How's that dream coming for that sailing business? And you keep talking, well, I've done this, I've done that. And you keep talking about it. And you keep pushing your way through and you make it happen. It doesn't happen by itself. You have to be dedicated and you have to be willing to take time. It took 8 years for me to buy this business. And people always say, oh, the kids these days. I think the kids these days have been the kids these days all the time. My generation, there were kids that were lazy. This generation, I see hardworking kids and I see lazy kids. I think they're all out there all the time. I don't think it's they're entitled, they're this, they're that. They're all these different sayings. I think there's individuals in every generation throughout history that have those characteristics. But if you have the characteristics and the drive within you and you keep talking about it and acting upon it and focusing on it, you can make it happen.
I love that. It sounds very much like what my parents have always said all along. They're immigrants as well. And just if you can believe it, then you can do it. Yeah, got to go for it. If you could go back and talk to yourself when you were in your early 20s, what advice would you give yourself or what would you say?
Oh my gosh.
Are we allowed to curse on your podcast?
Sure.
Chill the fuck out. CTFO, chill the fuck out. I was trying to run a business. I was young, so I didn't have a lot of respect with older individual sailors. They'd come down and I didn't even put business owner on my card until I was, I think, 40. Not that I was embarrassed as a business owner or anything like that, but the ways people would treat me because I was young and kind of an industry that's like your grandfather or uncle's sport had me really making sure I was doing everything as right as and respectfully as possible, which kind of wound me up a little bit, a lot, actually. So just being at this age and having as much experience as I've had over the years, I'm a lot more confident in my decisions and understandings and interactions with individuals than, you know, this is 27-year-old kid telling them to wear closed-toed shoes and not flip-flops. And it wasn't the easiest transition, but it was what I wanted to do, and I'm glad I did it. I had the vision and what I wanted to do, and I got some resistance. I mean, my general manager that was my mentor from the previous company, I had to fire him after a year and a half. And we had been talking for years about how we were going to transform the company and how we were going to grow the company and how we were going to expand and how we were going to do things. And then I started to go do it. I was wondering, like, did he think that I was actually going to be able to carry this out? I had a lot of people that doubted me. And that's fine. I think that helped me throughout the whole process of just staying engaged and wanting to purchase the business. But then when I actually did it, all the support that I thought I was going to get was met with resistance and confrontation. And I was like, you're my barrier to my success. So unfortunately, I have to let you go. It wasn't easy, but one of the best decisions I've made throughout the years. I can't do this business without individuals, but I need support, you know, and I need people that are going to support me, not when I step away and I turn my back, all of a sudden they're just stabbing me in the back. I know the boss and being on top, you're always going to get flack and employees are always going to talk smack about you. And I'm fine with that to a limit. But if you're undermining me on every single step of everything that we're trying to do and create, that's not working as a team.
Yeah, you do have to make really hard decisions when you're at the top and recognize when a team member isn't working toward the benefit of your business's ecosystem, but hard decisions. But removing that drag can have so much positive impact.
We make so many people happy. We're offering people to go out. And I mean, right now is whale watching season. I mean, just seeing the families getting off the boats and the kids, their eyes are like huge, just going, oh my gosh, what an experience. We had a proposal and it was starting to rain and this individual had planned. So when he gets seasick, so his girlfriend and the two sisters and the mother were going out on our whale watching trip. And he wanted to approach the boat on another boat and step aboard and get on the boat and drop to a knee and propose. So he had like a photographer on board. And then just before the trip, it started to rain. And I'm like, oh my gosh, we've been planning this for like 5 weeks. And my captain's like, I think we should cancel the trip. I said, we're not canceling this trip. I said, Zach has worked so hard to put this whole thing together. We're making this happen. So we went out. And fortunately, like the rain had stopped partway through the cruise. So it wasn't that bad. Everyone had a great time. And he proposed and she said, yes. It was just one of those things that we do down here that's very rewarding.
Amazing that you've touched so many lives in such a positive way. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
I really enjoyed this. Oh, you're very welcome.
If you've made it this far, thanks for being here. If you haven't already, please take a moment to rate the show and leave an honest review to help me reach more listeners' ears. Today's key takeaways. If you notice a business that isn't being run to its full potential, whether it's structure, branding, operations, presentation, and more, there could be an opportunity to purchase that business and turn your vision into reality. If you don't have the down payment to secure financing, but are passionate and hardworking, you can seek out an investment partner. They are out there. Start talking about your dreams and keep talking about your dreams. And if you have doubters, use that to push you even more. Be open to customer feedback. Sometimes it can sting, but you can use the information to grow and improve. Understand the value of preventative maintenance of your equipment and stay on top of it. It can end up costing you more in the long run if you let this slip through the cracks. And get comfortable with failure. We all fail at some point, but if you learn, grow, and improve, you have the right formula. Maybe you need to get a new rock and chisel some new rules. Think of your employees as your working family and build trust. Surround yourself with supportive people and choose employees that understand what it means to work as a team. This also means to make the difficult decision to stay away from people in your circle who put you down. And if you get wound up, remember to chill out. Don't let your fears of what other people think of you derail your self-confidence. A friendly reminder to please rate and review the show. Thanks again for being here. I release episodes once a week, so come back and check it out. Have a great day.